Good morning. You all awake this morning? Good to see you. Would you stand with me as we read? So we read this last week, and you guys, we're going to be meditating on this text quite a bit. And I'm praying that this text is being stirred into your life. So here it is. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. The apostles, they gathered around Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and they had taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. And he says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's a great text. There's a beautiful teaching of Jesus here. You can see the heart of Jesus in this. And there's so much here. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. This sphere that we're living on today is amazing. We're thankful, God, for this planet and the beauty that it holds, that our eyes see with the eyes that you gave us. Lord, as we gather here today, we come to worship the one who makes all this and the one who makes us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, Father, through your Son, Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning, that you would speak into our hearts personally. I pray, God, that as each individual is in here and you know each and every one by name and everyone that's watching online, that your eyes are upon us all. I pray that your voice would speak into our hearts through the scriptures. And may we leave here, God, understanding you a bit better and understanding who we are in your presence. We pray this for your glory and for the kingdom of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And good morning to you. I hope you guys, have you guys, anyone done vacations? Have you actually done what you're supposed to do in June, July? Hopefully you've done that. Kids are going back to school. My buddy Steve, he's all bummed. He's teaching on Monday. He's back to the classroom and he's trying to put on his big boy pants because he's a teacher and he's got to go back and teach. You know, we're coming to the end of summer. A couple things. First of all, this video we're thinking of showing that we're going to be showing next week. Yeah, it's a documentary. A guy named Matt Walsh did it, and it's for mature audiences. So parents, I encourage every parent to come and watch this, to be aware of what the discussion is in the academic setting of America and how it's affecting children. We're gonna show this video, and then we'll have a chance to discuss it. But I just want to let you know it's for mature audiences, but you know. Hey, let it be known. So that's a biggie. And I want to share something kind of cool. Dr. Shaner was a Bible study teacher here for many years. And he passed away a couple weeks ago. Found out I was talking with Betsy. First time I met Dr. Shaner, I was a student at Biola University, and I ran into a buddy of mine named Mark Barnett. And him and I were friends up in Big Bear. And I became a Christian. I moved to Dana Point. I lateraled, or I was a transfer student at Biola, and I ran into buddies I haven't seen in 3-4 years, and they were amazed that I was even a believer. A lot of people were that way. I scared a lot of people before I knew Jesus. Anyway, they were telling me about this amazing class that they're taking at Biola University, and it's radically changing their life. And I go, well, what class are you taking? They go, Greek. Greek? Yeah, this guy named Dr. Shaner is teaching this Greek class, and my walk with Jesus is just growing because I'm like, okay, right? I graduated from Talbot and came to a church in Irvine, 5000 Branca Parkway, and I found out that this church had a Sunday school teacher named Dr. J. Shaner, PhD in classical Greek, and he was teaching Sunday school classes here. His two daughters are in my youth group, Carol and Kate. And actually, when Cinda was giving birth to one of our sons, Betsy, his wife, came over and watched our kids while, You know, I mean, things like that. They were wonderful people. And Dr. Shaner taught a Sunday school class here for years, and he would take a Greek word, one word, and unpack it. And you'd be amazed by the time that you were done. He was just amazing. And he's with the Lord today. And so I talked with Betsy last week. Doc didn't want any services or funerals and memorial services, so we're going to honor that. But we're going to honor him. And just, he was, dude, if you have an NASB, that's a literal translation of the Bible. Dr. Shaner would be in his class, and he would have this funny little book that had amazing little squiggly written lines on it called Greek. And as he was reading his Greek New Testament, I'd be sitting there with my NASB, and it was like he was reading my NASB. Our translations that we have today, and especially in English, are amazing. And he would be reading it in Greek and translating it in his mind and putting an English word to it, and it was like I was reading my Bible. He was awesome. And so our prayers and blessings for Doc, and I can't wait to see him someday again. Just a great dude. So question for you this morning. I have a question for you. Here it is. You ready? Are you out of balance? How you doing? How are you doing? How you doing? How's the world doing? How's your soul? Are you a person of balance? An even distribution of weight enabling someone or something to remain upright, to remain steady. Are you a person of balance? Are you upright? You staying upright? You staying steady? A lot of things happening in the world. Do I hear an amen? Are you mentally and physically and spiritually upright? Are you physically, mentally, spiritually steady? Are you out of balance? Another great prof, Dr. Wilkins, man. He had one of these on his desk. And when I'd go sit in his office and hang out with him, he'd have that there. And I remember one day he realized, Frank, it sounds like you're going into ministry. He says, it sounds like God's calling you. He says, that's a good thing. He says, and he smacked it. He says, your biggest challenge in life is going to be to try to find balance. Because I know the lady you're dating, the Cinda Harwood, good choice, Frank. He did our premarital, by the way. He says, maybe God will give you kids. You're going to find pressures of life. He says, your big challenge in life is to battle to be a person of balance. Is he right? Was my professor right trying to speak into me 30-some years ago? Are you a person of balance? See, this is, there's a great text in the New Testament. It's a beautiful text. Jesus, you open up the Gospel of Mark, read the Gospel of Mark, and just see how Mark unpacks the ministry of Jesus. It's glorious. And Jesus fulfilling prophecies. The Messiah has come, the Anointed One. And he goes into Capernaum and he heals the whole town of Capernaum. And he goes over to Peter's house after Shabbat and heals his mother-in-law. And the whole town gathers around him and he spends the whole night. I mean, the Messiah, the prophecy says that when Messiah comes, those that live in darkness on the Sea of Galilee, a great light will dawn. That was written in Isaiah chapter 9, and 700 years later, Jesus is fulfilling, his whole life is being fulfilled. It was all prophesied and he lives it out. And it was there where his ministry begins. And he goes around the towns of Galilee and he's preaching and teaching. He goes to the other side and healing people with radical demonic issues. He is out in a storm on a lake and they think the boat's going to sink. And Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves and they stop. And who is this? And when you read and journey through Mark's gospel, at one point in the sixth chapter, he says, it's your turn. Go out. Go. Go. He gives them power. He gives them power and authority to preach and teach and do miracles. And in Mark chapter 6, after he sends them out, they come back and they're reporting to him all that they have done. All that they have done. And Jesus is seeing this, and I'm sure if you can picture the text as they're returning and telling him, he begins to observe something in their life. They are so busy, people, they don't even have time to eat. And Jesus is not okay with this. It's not like he's going, you're burning yourself out, well done. You're just burning both ends of the candle, way to go. He sent them out and they're doing it, and now he sees them, he says, it's not good. See, here's the deal. It's not okay with Jesus for his disciples to be out of balance. Did you know that? That's why I'm asking you, are you out of balance? In your life, where are you? How's your soul? You know, and Jesus sees him and he says, it's time. I sent you out what you're doing. I need you to now stop what you're doing. Take a break. And you're going to come with me. We're going to get in this boat. And we're going to go out in the lake. And we're going to find some quiet. Because you need to rest. Jesus. To meet Jesus, know Jesus, to follow Jesus. Have you met Jesus? This is important in Jesus' itinerary for your life. Jesus isn't here to burn you out. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. And for you to be out of balance is unhealthy for you. Hey, how's your eating habits? How you doing? How's your eating habits? Do any of you struggle with high blood pressure? Stomach ulcers? Lack of patience with other people? How's your sleeping? Do you have sleepless nights where you can't shut it off because your brain is so filled with worry or with fear? Are you having problems focusing? Are you having problems listening to other people? You feeling overwhelmed? Stressed out? Running on empty? Struggling with hives? Anyone? See, this is what happens to people that is out of balance. And the beauty of this text is Jesus sees it and he has a solution for people. If that's you, if you're a disciple of Jesus and you might be a little out of balance today, do you know Jesus has a plan for that? Pause. Stop. Turn off the screen. Why is it called a cell phone? C-E-L-L? Because it's a prison. It's a prison. We're all addicted to screens. Turn it off. Pause. Turn it off. Go find a quiet place. And rest. Shabbat. Rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Okay? And when you rest with Jesus, he'll give you rest for your soul. You spend time alone with Jesus long enough in a boat, he'll bring you rest for your soul. He'll do so much, man. See, during my sabbatical, I rested. During my sabbatical, I took, this is my theme verse for me getting away. Our leadership team is like, they know this text, and they know that they want their pastors here to be people of balance, and it's been a tough 30 months. All y'all hear about that? Amen. Did you hear that? So they're like, hey, the order was, Pastor Frank, we want all your ministry staff to take a break sometime and go spend some time with Jesus. And so I said, well, okay, I'll take July. And I did. And I went, there's different ways you can connect with Jesus. If you didn't hear the sermon of last Sunday, please do. Because there's different ways that people connect with Jesus. There's that intellectual pathway, contemplative pathways. There's all these ways. Nature, some people connect with God in nature and worship. There's different, people connect with Jesus in different ways. Pastor Frank, yeah, they could do that 2,000 years ago because Jesus was with them. How do I do that now? Is he with us? He's here. His Spirit is with us. And you can go spend time with Jesus in the 21st century if you want to. You need to pause. Go find a quiet place because the still small voice of the Lord. You find rest in Christ. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Shabbat. It's His rest. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. He says, my peace I give you, not the world gives. No kidding, Jesus. Does the world give any of you peace? Is the world right now giving any of you peace? The world's a mess. Jesus says, I will give you peace deep in your innermost being. Amen, Lord. How do you do that? There's ways you can do that. I taught a whole class at Biola on spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines. And I mean, connect with Jesus. Please watch the sermon of last week. It's so important. Here's the deal. When you spend time alone with Jesus, there's amazing benefits. Not only will Jesus give you rest, if you float with Him long enough, you sit with Him in a boat long enough, you hang out with Him long enough, He'll begin to give you perspective of life. You hang out with Jesus long enough, He will give you perspective on all aspects of life, like who you are. Who you are. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I want you to take down this first note. One of the benefits of spending time alone with Jesus is that you will find perspective of who you are. Who are you? Who are you? Have you ever thought about that? Very important question. Who are you? Can you guys, I pray that you've been meditating in this text. Can you see Jesus and His disciples? There they are. They're now out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They're on a beautiful boat. We have a Jesus boat. Look up the Jesus boat. They found a replica, or actually a first century boat that maybe Aunt Peter owned or something. It's on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus takes out His disciples, and when Jesus took them out there, did He feed them? Do you think once He got them out away from the crowds and they rode out and they're sitting out there, did He hand them bread? Did He feed them? Notice they weren't eating. Did He feed them? Did He tell them, you guys, maybe after an hour or so, one of them starts taking a nap, falling asleep. They're all floating out there. Have you ever floated in a boat? It's very tranquil when it's calm. Did those disciples ever have a reflective moment, do you think, on that boat in Mark 6? Do you think they're ever sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening in my life? Did they start taking stock like, I can't believe I'm here? Like Peter. Peter's floating there. And after an hour and a half of sitting there, he's sitting there going, I used to be a fisher of men. And then I met Him. And now I'm a fisher of fish. I'm a fisher of men. I'm His disciple. I'm His disciple. How did this happen? He just sent me out. I'm an apostle. How is this? This is crazy. My whole world has changed since I've been hanging out with that guy, and there he is. That's, by the way, is Peter of Capernaum now a disciple of Jesus? Answer? Yes, he's a student of Jesus, right? He's a follower of Jesus. Is he an apostle? He was one of these apostles. Yes, he's both those. Is he more? Is he more? Is that all he was, a student and one who's being sent out by Jesus? Is that all that Peter is floating on that boat? While Jesus probably looks over at him and smiles at him, maybe winks at him. Maybe their eyes connect and Jesus just gives him one of these. Like a well done, On that boat, is Peter loved by Jesus? Is there floating in that boat? Was Peter a friend of Jesus? John 15, Jesus said this the night before He went and hung on a cross. In John 15, 9-13, He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remained in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. My command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's. On that boat, Peter, yes, he's a disciple, yes, he's an apostle, yes, his whole world's been turned upside down since he's met Jesus. But in that boat, he was loved by Jesus. He was a friend of Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? This is one of the most important questions you will need to answer in your life. Who are you, and who determines who you are? Do you determine who you are? Did any of you do anything to bring yourself into this world? Answer. Did any one of you do anything to bring yourself into this world? I'd like to meet you. Did you do anything to bring yourself into this world? Did you create yourself? Answer. No. So by default, there's no way you can truly tell yourself what you were created for or who you are. The Creator is the one that tells you that. Does that make sense? So who is the one sitting in the boat with Peter 2,000 years ago? God in human flesh. And who is he now in Peter? Who is Peter in his presence? See, but when you turn it off and you get away to a quiet place with Jesus and rest and find balance in your life, if you stay there long enough, you will begin to find perspective in all types of aspects of life. And one of the biggies is like, who are you? What's your identity in the presence of Jesus? Finding your true identity in the presence of Jesus. See, do you think Peter and the other 11 disciples understood who they were in Jesus' presence? They were on their way. They were on their way. When you sit with Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, do you understand who you are in His presence? Where are you on the journey of discovering who you are in the presence of Jesus? This is really important that you understand this. See, knowing who you are in the eyes of God is critical to keeping balance, to being steady in life. Knowing who you are is critical to staying balanced in life. See, so Pastor Frank, when he went and did his sabbatical, I spent a lot of time just thinking, meditating, studying, walking with Jesus on the beach. I actually went on some boats that were floating on the water and meditating, thinking, stirring in, praying, looking at, picturing, studying this text. Please study this text. Stir this text into your life. Just don't read it and say, oh, that's cool. I want you to read this text and be in the boat with Jesus and let Him speak into your innermost being. When you sit with Jesus, He will begin to speak into your life things that are just so amazing. See, after Jesus hung on the cross and arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, He had another of His apostles write an amazing section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 that describes, that theologically tells who you are in the eyes of Jesus. I call it the identity chapter. It's what God says who you are in Christ. And it's a beautiful text to memorize. Could I ask you this week to please go find a quiet place and meditate on the text of Ephesians 1? Because if you do, you'll hear Jesus speak into your life who you are in His eyes. And by the way, who you are in His eyes is who you... It's who you are. You want to read it with me? Check this out. Paul the Apostle says this in Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. They're in Jesus. You can almost picture, like, if you're floating in a boat with Jesus, then you're in the boat with Jesus. Well, it's almost like in Christ. You'll see so many of these in Christs in this chapter. You should try to underline how many of them you find. Picture you being in a boat with Jesus. You're sitting in the Jesus boat. All of you that are in the Jesus boat, all of you that have said yes to Jesus and a follower, all of you that are in this boat, this is who you are, okay? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, every spiritual blessing. Hey, you in the boat, you've been given every spiritual blessing. Note number two, you want to take notes of me this morning? Write this down. In Jesus, we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms before the throne of Almighty God. How many spiritual blessings do you have? Everyone. Everyone. Do you think Peter knew that in Mark 6? That in Jesus, he's been given every spiritual blessing? He does now. He does now. What spiritual blessings? Let's keep reading. Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him, that's the Jesus boat, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless. Note number three, write this down. In Jesus, did you know in Jesus you're holy and blameless? In Jesus, you're holy and you're blameless. In Jesus, you are holy and blameless. So a group of us went to Israel. We took a two-year hiatus from it. The group that was supposed to go in 2020, we got pushed back to 2022. We finally got to go. We had a great time there because nobody was there. The whole country of the land of Jesus, there was no boats. They were so stoked that we finally, tourists are coming back, and there was no buses, you know, and like, oh my goodness, tourists, they wanted to hug us, you know, after 2 years. And I've done this enough, I mean, we just went all over, and usually our second day, we tour all of the Sea of Galilee, and by the end of the day, we tell people ahead of time that we're going to go right where the Sea of Galilee bleeds off into the Jordan River, and if anybody wants to go get baptized, you can do that, okay? And so it was kind of cool because my son Jordan, who's a police officer in the city of San Diego, he got to go with me on this trip. I tried to take my sons. And I don't tell him, hey, Jordan, you going to get baptized or not get baptized? But we were heading to there, and he goes, Dad, I think I want to get baptized today. I have a picture of him, I think. That's my son in the middle. My brother Aaron Young used to be my intern here at Woodbridge Community Church, is now an amazing pastor in Atlanta, and him and I run these trips together. And if you'll notice, so this place that we go to called Yarnet, everybody that gets baptized in the Jordan River has been given white robes, because the early Christians, from the earliest days of Christendom, when disciples were being baptized, they would wrap them in white robes when they'd go into the river to be baptized. Why white? Because we're holy and blameless in the Jesus boat, you see. We've been washed clean. He on the cross takes away all our sin. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. We've been washed in the robes of righteousness. And so every disciple, that when you go there, it's symbolic. It's like you need to know who you are, because when you said yes to Jesus and you accepted what he's done for you on the cross into your life, it's the great transition. It's like all your stuff that offends God in holiness, he takes on himself on the cross and he pays your debt. And in return, he transitions to you his holiness and his righteousness into your life. It's called imputed righteousness. And so in there, so my son Jordan, and so the early Christians, they would always get up there and they would give a public confession of faith in Christ. This is what conversion baptism is. They would stand up there and they'd give proclamation of I believe in Jesus and I accept him. And so my son gets up there, and it was so cool. Because, you know, he's like, hey man, So dad cried a little bit. I showed it to my lady and she cried when I showed her when we got home. And he says, you know, the job that I have is incredibly dangerous. And I need to just be right with Jesus every day when I get in that car to go out and serve and protect you. And he just, on his own, I just believe in Jesus, accept him in my heart, and I need him so much. It was the most beautiful thing for a father to hear a son say, you know, and afterwards, that one's probably needs to go on the wall. Do I hear an amen? Who are you? Who are you? In Christ. In Christ, you've been given every spiritual blessing. Wow, everyone. What is that? Did Peter and all them understand what that is? No, but they do now. Well, one of them is that in Jesus, you've been made holy and blameless. You, in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ, because of him, not because of you, because of what he's done for you. You and your works are not holy and blameless. In what he's done on the cross, it's Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus plus you just believe in Christ, accept him, right? You've been made holy and righteous. Does any of you feel holy and blameless today? Are you holy and blameless? Do you feel that way? You are, in the eyes of Jesus, in Christ, right? Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us to adoptions, to sonship, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise and his glory, in his glorious grace, which he freely given us in the one he loves. So through Jesus, we've been given, take this down. In Jesus, we are adopted children of God. Did you know that? You're an adopted child of God. Hey, have you ever forgiven somebody? Anyone? Do you know that every person that God forgives, he adopts? Adopts? See, I've forgiven a lot of people, but I don't adopt every person I forgive. Do you? Somebody steals from you and you go through and you finally forgive them. Do you adopt them as your kid? Do you know that before the foundation of the world, God preordained that whoever he embraces and adopts through Christ, those that come to him through his son are going to be my kids. And he preordained this before the foundation of the world, that all that come through my child, through my son Jesus, I'm adopting them as my kids. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's huge. And who makes this happen? Jesus. See, Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Take notes with me this morning. Who are you? In Jesus, you are redeemed and forgiven. You've been paid in full. Your sins, your offenses before a holy God have been paid in full because of what Jesus did on the cross. You've been released from these consequences of your sin before a holy God. The past, the present, and the future, you've been redeemed. You've been purchased back. Now, how's that for a spiritual blessing? That's pretty huge, wouldn't you say? Does anybody love him yet? Does anybody love him yet? Do you see the heart of Jesus? See, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, Paul says, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Messiah, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Messiah or Christ. Take notes of me this morning. Who are you? In Jesus, we've been given heavenly understanding. This is huge. It's called perspective. In Jesus, we've been given heavenly understanding. Family secrets. Family secrets. God the Father's given you family secrets. A mystery is a truth once hidden but now made known. And there's a lot of mystery in the Bible. Have you read it? There's a lot of mystery in the Bible, especially about the Messiah. Ask a person who is Jewish about Messiah. Oh, Jesus can't be the Messiah because he didn't rule and reign and set up the throne of David. How do you reconcile Isaiah 53 when the righteous one takes away the iniquity of my people with Isaiah 9 that he will rule and reign the nations? The mystery of Messiah, how does it fit? See, the once hidden mystery of God's redemptive strategy for humanity, summing up all things, and then Jesus shows up. And in Christ, the mystery of the Old Testament is being unlocked. Two comings, two advents of Messiah. Once as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he's coming again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to rule and reign. The mystery of two comings of Messiah. See, in Jesus, God the Father gives us family secrets about many things, by the way. Has anyone read the end of the book? Anyone? How does it end? We know who wins, yes? Do we know how? Yes. Do we know where? Yes. It's called the Valley of Armageddon. It's the Jezreel Valley. Do we know when? Just birth pains. He goes, that one I'm going to let you... He still leaves us with mystery. But he gives us clues. Anyone like jigsaw puzzles or word... And there's mystery. There's still mystery. Jesus, we've been given the mysteries of the kingdom. That's a blessing. See, most people in the world are looking at the world and they have no idea what's going on in the world. They don't know how to interpret what's happening in the world. They look at themselves. They don't know who they are. They don't know what's going on with themselves. They don't know what's going on with the world. Jesus calls them lost. L-O-S-T. That was me. I was lost until I met Messiah. All of a sudden, I begin to find out who I am and who God is. And he begins explaining to me the world and the mess of the world. He begins speaking mysteries. Who are you? You've been given every spiritual blessing in Messiah. You're holy and blameless. You've been redeemed and forgiven. God gives you the mysteries of the kingdom. He explains them to you. Did you know in Messiah that you're an heir to the throne of, an heir of the kingdom of God? In him, Ephesians 1:11 through 12, it says, in him we are chosen as heirs, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Messiah, might be for the praise of his glory, or in Christ, Messiah, it's the same thing. We're chosen as heirs, given a share in the inheritance. Dr. Shaner teaching in that class, unpacking the Greek word heir, inheritance, given as an inheritance, an heir, chosen. Chosen. Jesus said, pray in this way, our Father, who is in heaven, how holy is his name. If he's your Father and you're a child of God, how rich is your dad? How rich is your dad? He owns the cattle on every hill. The universe is his. If that's your dad and you're an heir, the riches of the kingdom, whatever that means. Note number 7, write this down. In Jesus, we are heirs to the kingdom, a chosen child, an inheritance in heaven. What kind of riches are we talking about? Mystery. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love Him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can really put their brain around what God has in store for you in the kingdom. But it's going to be awesome. Do I hear an amen? And you're a child. All this is because you are in the Jesus boat. This is who you are. Given all spiritual blessings, holy and blameless, adopted child of God, redeemed and forgiven by the blood of Christ, given family secrets, heavenly understanding, heirs to the kingdom in Him, in Christ, wrapped in those white robes of righteousness, placed in the being of Jesus. Now, did Peter and the other disciples realize this on that boat 2,000 years ago? Did they totally understand who they were in the eyes of Jesus? They were on their way, and they do now. Where are you on your journey of understanding who you are in the eyes of Jesus, sitting in that boat, floating with Him? Him looking at you. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of all things. Staring at you. Seeing you. Knowing you. Before a word comes out of your mouth, He already knows what you're going to say. His thoughts toward you are as numerous as the grains of sand on a beach. Anyone walked on the beach lately? Do you realize that Jesus thinks about you a lot more than you realize? And He sees you. When He sees you, what does He see? See, they were on their way of discovering who they were in the presence of Jesus. All of us are on our way of realizing who we are in the presence of Jesus. Just hearing Ephesians 1 this morning, how does that make you feel? What? Cherished? Makes you feel cherished. Hearing this morning, how does it make you feel? Cherished? Give me another one. Somebody said blessed over here. Special, special, blessed, cherished. Hearing this morning, how does it make you feel? Loved. Chosen. Hopeful. How important is hope? Special. What if I told you all that you just won the lottery? How would that make you feel? What if I lied to you? Then your feelings is based in lies, isn't it? What if I told you you won the lottery? You'd be like, woohoo, I lied to you. So your feelings is based in a lie. When your feelings is based in truth, see, the feelings you have this morning are based in truth. It's fact, faith, feelings. You know the truth. You will know the truth. It'll set you free. Feelings are funny. You don't trust your feelings. It's not feelings. It's truth. Fact, faith, feelings. This is who you are. According to God, and God cannot tell a... In Him there is no darkness. There's only light. See, when your life is out of balance, my brother and sister, and Jesus sees it and He tells you, man, this ain't cool. I need you to stop what you're doing. I need you to come with Me and I want you to get some balance back again. So I need you to stop, turn it off, sell, get out of the cell, come with Me to freedom. Let's find a quiet place. You need to rest physically and spiritually. You stay there in a boat long enough, and you stare at Jesus long enough, He'll begin giving you perspective of life, of everything that's happening on the beach as you're out in the water with Him. Everything that's going on in the world, the shore, and all that you left, Jesus will give you perspective of it all as you sail out with Him. And if you sit there long enough, He'll begin giving you perspective of some of the most important things in life, like who are you sitting in that boat with Him? Peter's sitting there going, I can't believe my whole life has been radic. My whole identity has been changed because I've met Him. He called me. Now here I am. I'm no longer a fisher of fish. I'm a fisher of men. I'm a disciple. I'm an apostle. He loves me. Why? He calls me friend. He's on his way of discovering who he is in the presence of Messiah. Who are you in the presence of Messiah? Because who you are in his presence is truly who you are. See, during my sabbatical, this is what I meditated on. After I rested a while, I shared with that last week. I mean, I have all my commentaries open. I'm a geek. I get it. But I was, when I'd walk on the beach, I had Jesus in my mind. He was walking with me on the beach. There was another set of footprints going with me down Calafia Street, San Clemente. Take this last note. Knowing who you are helps you to stay in balance for life. Knowing who you are helps you stay in balance for life. Knowing who you are helps you stay in balance for life. So during my sabbatical, I was blessed. I had two of my students, when I was an adjunct professor at Biola University teaching a class on hermit biblical interpretation and spiritual formation. And I taught there a few years as an adjunct. During my sabbatical, I had two of my students call me. Amazing. As Wilkins was to me, I think God gave me the privilege of being a Wilkins to someone else. And these students, think about Professor Winans. One of them called me and told me that she's a pastor's wife in Idaho and has three kids. And she's thinking about, she just started sharing stories of things I taught in class. And things that she would sat right there as she would come and listen to professor teach with a whole row of students from Biola. Had another student call me. And she's struggling because her and her husband, she's struggling getting pregnant. And she says, I remember when you were teaching in class about who I am as a child of God. And I've been meditating a lot on that as we're trying to get pregnant. And she says, I'm reminding myself that my identity is not being a mom. My identity, and she's crying. She says, she's in her life, she's remembering, this is who I am. These things don't define me. Jesus defines me. The world doesn't define me. Jesus defines me. I don't define me. The one who made me defines me. This is so critical. Because knowing who you are will keep you to stay in balance in life with a world that's totally out of balance. Do you understand? 100 years from now, who will you be? 100 years from now, you're going to stand there and say, who are you? I'm a Democrat. Really? You're in the kingdom of heaven and this is your identity of your political affiliation? I'm a businessman. Really? You're in the kingdom of heaven? This is your identity? Really? I'm a dad. Really? I'm a mom. Really? That's who you are? Really? I'm a man. I'm a woman. Really? This is it? Who are you? In the eyes of the one who made you. It's critical that you know this. And live it out. You're a child of God. What you will be then is what you are now. You're a child of God. I've been given every spiritual blessing. I am holy and blameless in heaven, walking with the Holy One, entering the holy place because I've been made holy. I am redeemed and forgiven. I'm an heir. I'm a child of the living God. This is who I am 100 years from now. This is who you are now. Do you understand? In the eyes of Jesus. And his opinion's the only one that counts. Go spend time with Jesus this week. For all you disciples that are out of balance, I'm just talking to you. For all you disciples that are a bit out of balance, he's not cool with you being out of balance. Read Mark chapter 6. Pause. Stop it. Turn it off. Go find a quiet place. Go rest with Jesus. Physically and emotionally and spiritually. You take Jesus there through spiritual disciplines. Spend time alone with him. Let Jesus speak into your life. You stay there long enough, he'll start telling you who you are in his sight. And the more that you realize who you are, the more it's going to help you stay in balance. This is what Pastor Frank was doing for 1 month. Looking at the world, looking at Jesus. The world's a mess. Watch this video next week. Unbelievable. Jesus will give you perspective about many things if you spend time with him. Would you please go spend, just for you disciples that are a little out of balance, you have a homework assignment. Go spend time with Jesus this week. Swim in Ephesians chapter 1. Meditate on the verses. Take Ephesians 1 to the beach and watch the sunset. Meditate. Jesus, who am I? Is this who I am? Just teach me, Lord. Tell me who I am. Explain to me. And help me to believe who you say that I am. Help me to live it out. Stir it in, people. You do this, you'll be fine. Do I hear an amen? Does it make sense? Is this good? It's deep. I can feel you thinking. I can hear you thinking. All of you are going, oof. That's good. Let Jesus look at you. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister in here this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would speak into deep into their hearts. Lord, help them to see themselves the way you do, in Christ, in Christ. This message is only for those that's accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This message is only for those who've climbed into the boat with Jesus, who've said yes to Jesus and accepted what Jesus has done on the cross for them. It's only for those who've been wrapped in the robes of righteousness. For these people that have said yes and have accepted Messiah, who are they? Not when they die, but who are they now? Who are we, Jesus? I pray, Lord, that you would speak. Jesus, you said your disciples will hear your voice and follow you. Your sheep will hear your voice and follow you. Your flock will hear your voice and follow you. For those that are of Jesus, may they hear the voice of Jesus today. May they hear the voice of Jesus saying, come away with me. Come away with me. For those of you that are out of balance, Jesus says, come away with me. Let's go find a quiet place together. And let's go rest together. Help us to hear you, Jesus. Help us to obey you, Jesus. Help us to be open to listen to what you have to say, Jesus. Because your words are life. Your words are peace. Your words are rest. Your words are power. As you paint perspective of everything, everything, everything. Help us, Jesus.